B'Shem Kol Yisrael, maybe bring blessing and Shefa upon the whole Jewish people. Please Hashem, let the Torah come out sweet and bring all the blessings to all the whole Jewish people and go into our hearts and souls, is probably the most appropriate of all of the classes for this particular subject, taking the Torah home with you. And that's Aseh Lach Rav, make for yourself a Rav. We're going to try to tackle it from a halachic perspective, and then we'll try to also tackle it from a practical, just advice level. Why, to me, this is one of the most important principles of Jewish and really just general life, to have a coach, to have a mentor, to have a Rav. Sounds good? Okay. So this idea of Aseh Lach Rav, or Aseh Lach Rav, is actually mentioned not once, but twice in Pirkei Avos, which makes it super important in my eyes, because Pirkei Avos is also my favorite. When I was growing up, I was obsessed with Pirkei Avos. I used to always learn, love learning all the commentaries, especially in high school. And actually, at one point, had it memorized. Now I only have the first parak memorized. And sometimes before I eat dinner, I do jumping jacks, and I do Pirkei Avos push-ups and jumping jacks. But in any case, I really like this Mishnah, and it comes up twice. So let's go through the first time. Yeshua ben Bracha, Nitar Be'elikim Amen. Yeshua ben Bracha, Aymer, Aseh Lecha Rav. A Jew should make for yourself a rabbi, Ukne Lecha Chaver, and acquire for yourself a friend. V'idan et kol ha'adam lekav zchut, and you should judge everyone favorably. Can have a good discussion of what's the connection between these three concepts. Maybe once you have good rabbis and good friends, you'll start judging people favorably. You'll start looking at the good in others. But if you don't have good guidance, then you're going to be like the Meraglim, Chas V'Shalom, and start looking at the bad of things. But that's, in any case, a different matter. So we have this idea of making for yourself a rab. So one question we have to ask ourselves whenever we learn Pirkei Avos is this an absolute law? Or is this advice? Is this a suggestion? Okay? Because some things you'll find in Pirkei Avos are laws. You have to do this. And a lot of other things in Pirkei Avos are good advice, but not necessarily mandatory. Okay? So we'll have to get back to that, try to answer that question. Is, do you have to make yourself a rabbi? Is it the same level as keeping Shabbos and keeping kosher? Or is it just a nice piece of advice? Okay? Now, at first glance, this particular Mishnah, what would you guess? Is this halacha? Or is it like you have to do this? Or is this a good piece of advice? And explain why. Give me your rationale. Yes?
To like compare it, same way you're supposed to daven, but preferably with the maiden.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same thing. Like you're supposed to do this. Like you don't.
Lechatchila b'di'avad.
Yeah. It's not like if you do it, then like.
But it's a good idea. So somewhere in between, you're saying. It's not just a nice piece of advice. You should do it, but if you don't do it, you're not sinning. Something like that is Huvian's. Nice. Yes.
I would just say, judging based on the rest of the Mishnah, since we probably wouldn't say that like finding yourself a friend would be a chiyuv and halacha, I would assume that like, the part that comes right before it will also not.
Exactly. Now, that was indeed what I was also thinking. And how can you, we're not going to tell someone you have to have a friend. You know, some people just, can you do it? You don't have a friend. Right? Some people interpret, not some, I think some Rabbanim explained, Knei Lecha Chaver means buy yourself a book. Because the book's always a friend. He's always there for you. But it's a little bit of an antisocial answer. Yeah, yeah. But not everyone is able to buy yourself a friend. So similarly, not everyone is able to make yourself a rabba, but it's a good thing to do. Okay. Now we'll also notice the lashon is not you should have a rav, but aseh lecha rav, make for yourself a rav. You need to be active in making yourself a rabbi. And you know, it's something I've experienced many times. Who are the people who I keep up with? The Talmidim that I have a relationship with, the ones who go after. You know, I put it out there, so to speak, every summer, at the end of every year, whoever wants to keep in touch, please do. And generally, I find, you know, 1 out of 10, 1 out of 20, sometimes 1 out of 50, once a year, is the ones, you know, who really keep up. And then the ones who really, really keep up for 10 years, those are like the gems, the ones you really had a strong connection with. And a lot of times it comes down to the Talmud. It's not, it's you have to pursue the Rebbe because the Rebbe is generally busy, you know, but it puts the chiv, or not chiv, but it puts the onus on you. You know, personally, I have a rabbi who's my Shanalef Rebbe in Yeshiva, an Israeli rabbi named Rav Yeager. And we were very close in Yeshiva. And then, you know, life went on. I went to college and I went to the army. And I would say him. I would always go to the Kotel and see him, but I didn't like have a close relationship. And then Dafka, at some point in my life, I really was in like a crazy situation. And like, thank God it all worked out okay, but I felt like a restart of life. And I had just like this cheshbon nefesh of like, what do I want to do better with my life? So I started changing a few things in my life. I remember going to a rabbi friend at the time. And one thing I started doing is I started going to mikvah before I davened. At the time I started davening in Nates. And I also decided I have to have a chavrusha with my Rebbe. So every day I asked, it happened to be he had time at the time. I would daven Nates, and then right after Nates we would learn together. Then life got busy again. And, you know, after Corona, whatever. But even now, I try every week at least to go visit my Rebbe and have a chavrusha with him. And he tries to also, he knows that I'm trying. He knows that I'm trying to make a time, so he makes a time for me. The same way that I, as a Rebbe, would always make a time if any of my talmidim wanted to speak to me. Because that's what it means to be a Rebbe. And it's not so easy. And often, what I usually do is I learn whatever he's learning. So it often has nothing to do with what I'm learning. I just roll with him. But it's so important for me to at least have, I know once I have that once a week, you know, learning, then when I need him to have a real conversation, he's there for me. Once you lose some sort of, you know, relationship, it's hard to feel that connection during the times when you really need someone. So I'm giving myself, this year is really mostly for me to just keep pushing, keep on pushing to have that relationship with a Rebbe. Okay? So Adkan, it's a good idea to have a Rebbe, but we don't really know what we're referring to here as a Rebbe. Let's keep going. Back at the end of Pirkei Avos, Mishnah Avos Tes Zayin, Rabbi Gamliel has another exclamation, Uayomer, Aseh Lecha Rav, Fistalik Minasafek. Make for yourself a rabbi, and you can make yourself far from doubt. Okay? So wait a second. We already heard that you're supposed to make for yourself a rabbi. So what is the difference between the first type of Rav that Nitai Arbeli was telling, or actually Yeshua ben Prachya was telling us to have, versus the second type of Rav that Rav Gamliel is telling us to have? You hear the kasha? Mm-hmm. Any theories? What's different about the second time? Yeah.
The first time, I think it's more talking about, like, Asilacha Rav and Kanilacha Chaver. Even the rest of the Mishnah, it's kind of just more talking about like the influence of having a rabbi, which I guess would be like a good suggestion just to have someone to look up to and to kind of see as a role model. But I think that the second Mishnah, since it's talking about staying away from doubts, it's coming from a halachic perspective. Huh. And that's saying make a rabbi for halachic reasons, for halachic shailas, but that probably would be actually counted as a
Yeah. Okay, so you're on a roll here, 2 for 2. You were mischaven to Avos Rabbi Natan and many other rabbis who exactly explain like that. Because the second time it says, Distalik mina safek, get out of doubt. So wait a second, just because I have a Rebbe, I'm never going to have any doubts? So you could say, yeah, because your Rebbe is going to give you advice and that way you won't have doubts in life. But other rabbis explain, no, the first time is talking about a Rebbe in limud, in teaching. Whereas the second time is talking about a Rebbe in Psak. If I have one rabbi who's going to tell me how I should go in Halacha, then I won't have doubts. As soon as I start having a lot of different rabbis, I have a lot of doubts in my life. I'm not really sure what to do. And even worse, if I have no rabbi, then I mamish have no doubt. I have a lot of doubts. So therefore, Rav Gamliel says, you should make for yourself a rabbi and you won't have doubts. Okay? Who says this? We'll read it inside in the Avot Rabbi Natan, which is the Midrash. So it says, Ketzad Aselach Rav, in the fourth source. Lanachi Aselo Rav Keva, Yamad Mena Mikra Mishnah. You should learn Mishnah, learn Chumash, Midrash, Halacha, Agadas. Ayah Rabbi Meir, I'm skipping to the bold. Alo Mitorah Mirav Achad, if you learn from one rabbi, L'mahu Domeh, L'chad Sh'ayalo Sadeh Achad, you had a field. V'zorah Miksat Achitim, and you plow a little wheat, Miksat Asorim, a little barley, and a little zeitim, and a little olive. And then Zadamu Aletova Bracha, and you're full of Bracha. With Man Shalom and Bibet Gimel Dom, but if you learn from a lot of rabbis, Domeh L'mishi Eshlo Sadot Harveh. It's like you plow a little bit here, a little watermelon here, a little thing there. Achad Zer Achitim, Achad Zer Asorim. V'neta Achad Zeitim, a little olive here. Achad Ilanos. V'nimte Adam Hu Mifuzar Ben Aratzot Belo Tova Bracha. You're all over the place. You got a little cucumber there, a little watermelon over there, but you have nothing that's, you're just like, you're not really growing. So that's what Avos Rabbi Nachman is saying. When it comes to learning, you should have one Rebbe, because that way you learn to inculcate his way of thinking. If I hear a little bit here and a little bit there, then I hear a lot of nice ideas, but nothing really grows. It doesn't really become a part of who I am, says Rami Meir. Okay? You know, I see this with, like, for example, my father-in-law is a big Talmud, was a big Talmud Mufak, and is, I would say, of Rav Soloveitchik. And he learned by him so many years and felt so connected to the Rav that he really feels like he tried to ask himself, what would the Rav think? What would the Rav's answer be in this situation? And he, I think he feels like he learned to think in the way that the Rav would have, you know, thought. And that's someone who's really a hemshech of the Masorah. Because really, all of Judaism is based on this connection between one generation to the next generation. I take even the way we learn. I was thinking about this the other day. We don't just generally learn Gemara. What's really Gemara? It's a Mishnah, and then the Gemara is commentating on the Mishnah. It's a rabbi commentating on another rabbi. And then we learn Rashi. So Rashi's commentating on the Gemara. And then we have super commentators commentating on the Gemara, on Rashi. So it's everyone commentating on everybody else. Or take, for example, the way we learn Halacha. We have the Shulchan Aruch, who's really commentating on the Rambam and the Rif and the Rosh. And then we have the Rambam commentating on the Shulchan Aruch. And we have Mishnah Berurah, who's commentating on the Rambam. And it's really complicated, to be honest. You know, like, it's not just like, do this, wake up and tie your shoes. It's like, this, he said, this, he said, this, and it's like, and that's why we need Svarim like the Kitter Shulchan Aruch and Pini and Halacha to make our life simpler and just tell you, okay, do A, do B, do C. But the traditional way of learning was always Masorah. It's always this rabbi, this rabbi, this rabbi, this rabbi, because this is the essence of Judaism. Judaism is always about being connected to Rav. But in order to really be connected to Rav, says Rabbi Meir, you need to really be there for a long time, okay? To absorb his way of thinking. Now, with that said, just for the sake of honesty, there's another source in Avodah Zarah. I don't know if I brought it. Yeah, it's mentioned by the Bartanura. Bartanura is not just a nice wine company, but he was a great commentary on the Mishnah. And it's on Source Zion, and he mentions that Abagav, the Masechet Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Amru Tam Lo Mitor Mirav Achad, Eino Re'eh Siman Bracha. It says if you learn from one rabbi, you won't see Siman Bracha. So how does he explain that contradiction? Hani Mili V'Svara, it's good to hear different Svaras. It's good to be hearing different ways of thinking. Avodah Inyan Gemara, but then at the end of the day, Mechad Rav Ma'ali, it's better to have one rabbi. In other words, for example, take you guys, okay? This seminary is all about choices, right? In other words, the concept is that they want you to experience different ways of looking at life. You're going to hear learners, you're going to hear tellers, you're going to hear every different rabbi. And that way you get exposed to many different ways and you can choose different, they want you to get exposed to different ways of thinking. And I think that's super duper healthy. But at the end of the day, I also think it's important to kind of, okay, I've tasted everything. Now I kind of want to figure out what's my path. Like, what's my way of, what's the path that I really connect to? And, you know, for me, that was high school. High school was all about self-exploration of, like, I tried to, you know, every book in the library, I tried to read this book and that book and that and try to figure out, like, everything. You know, lots and lots of hashkafa. And then, eventually, okay, I kind of have seen, have tasted a lot of things, now I can kind of figure out what's the path that I most connect to. I like learning Chassidus. I like the rational approach. I like whatever. It's healthy to be exposed to everything, but then it's also super healthy to not be totally all over the place. Yeah.
It's like, sometimes like if you just have a rabbi and like you just do everything he says, and like you're not being necessarily, you don't really understand, you're not so much open-minded towards other things. So if you see like other ways in other people's, like it really gives you the confidence to figure out what you want and why you want it for yourself. And why you like this rabbi, because they do something that you want to do and you're confident about it. And like also doesn't like let you look at other views and think like, oh, they're crazy, and like instead, like you look at them and say like, I understand why they do that, but I don't want to do that for myself. But I totally respect them.
You get where they come.
It's beautiful, but I think that I have a better time doing the approach that I'm doing.
Different.
So it's much better because like instead of just like growing up one way and just following blindness, not blindlessly because it's obviously not, but like kind of intuitively, then so it's nice.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It a little bit drives me crazy when sometimes rabbis and just sometimes laymen say, no, this is the law, this is it. And it's purely out of artists, because they don't realize that there's another opinion that's like this, another opinion that goes like that. But sometimes, for whatever reason, the path in education is just, hey, do this. You know, Ravadia says this, that's it, that's the only path. Don't even think about any other way of looking at things, and everyone else is crazy. And to me, that's like the whole job of a Rav, for example, is to be aware of all the different opinions, not to just be like, you know, only my path, to know what's out there, and then to know, well, this exists, and then to present what I think is the most reasonable option, and not to go crazy. I don't always have to tell you on every single issue, well, Christianity says like this, Reform says like this, Conservative says like this, Modern Orthodox says like, okay, there's got to be a balance. But at the same time, Dafka, a Rav's responsibility is to know what's out there. And it drives me crazy when Rabbanim are just very short-sighted, not nearsighted. It's about balance. It's about finding a balance. And it could be that you guys are still need some years to explore. And it's not like, oh, and now seminary, it's over. From now on in, you'll have to only learn one thing. Of course, there's still time to explore. And all of life, we should be open to exploring. But there, at the same time, there might be a feeling inside of a person where, you know, I remember feeling that for myself. I told you, high school was about reading, exposing myself to everything. Yeshiva was about trying to get answers to everything and asking every question possible. Yeshiva was about a lot of things, but that was one of my goals, at least in the beginning of the yeshiva. At a certain point, I realized all my answers are not going to get answered. There's not necessarily the answer to every single question out there. But after asking enough questions, I felt like, okay, it's good enough. I feel confident. And now I don't want to just focus on, you know, reading fluffy books all day. I want to like focus on learning. And at the same time, you know, on Shabbos, I'll read a nice Hashkafa book. But it has to come internally when a person can say, when am I going to focus on everything? When am I going to focus on my particular path? Okay, so far all we've talked about is learning. We're not talking about in the realm of psak. We're talking about learn of. And I think in the olden days, you used to literally have one Rebbe who you could just learn by him all the time. He would teach you everything. Obviously, nowadays, the world has changed. It's unlikely you can have one rabbi who's going to teach you everything. But you can find your path. You can find your podcast. You can find your, you know, YouTube video that you connect you to and whatever it is. That's still super relevant. Okay. Now, let's look at the Rambam. The Rambam writes, Aselech HaRabi Selek Mele Safek, the second Mishnah, exactly like Ali said, this is talking about psak. You need one rabbi for psak. So you can rely upon him. Go find yourself a rabbi, ask him your questions, so you can have some clarity in your life. Very good. Very good. Now the Rambam says something even... earlier in the Rambam, I skip it. This is very interesting. On the first Selech HaRabi, he writes, even if this rabbi doesn't know as much as you, and you don't feel like he's the wisest rabbi that's ever existed, nonetheless, you should make him your rabbi. Because when I'm learning on my own, it doesn't usually come out as clear and as when I talk it out with a friend. So if the most amazing rav in the world is there, then great. But sometimes for a rabbi or maybe just a chavrusa, you just get whatever's out there, because just steiging it out, learning with another friend, talking it out with another friend, can make the it can clarify things for ourselves. And that is the explanation when it comes to learning. Okay? So there is, and maybe to go beyond the Rambam a little bit, there's also a concept, I've seen this in Chassidus, Lubavitch talks a lot about the concept of mashpia, of someone to mashpia and makaba. That even someone who's a mashpia, even a big rav, needs to have a rav upon him that can inspire him and that can help him. Because it's not natural all the time to only be giving. You also need time to receive from others. And even if you feel like you might even know more than that person in some ways, it doesn't matter. It's not healthy for a person to only be giving. Even a great person needs to have another person who you have to have this balance of giving and receiving, giving and receiving. It's like you can't receive all the time. Also, sometimes it's healthy to give and to teach. So also, also a Rebbe needs to have someone to mashpia upon them. Okay? This, by the way, could have been the mistake of Nadav and Aviv. They might have thought, we're on a higher level spiritually than Moshe and Aaron, so we're not going to learn from Moshe and Aaron. And the Tiva Shalom explains that was a mistake. Because even if you're on a very high spiritual level, you still need people to learn from. And basically that comes down to the concept of the fact that we're not objective. You know, when even if we're the smartest, holiest guys in the world, but it's just me and myself, then I can fool myself. But once I hear somebody else on the outside, whether it be a friend, a Tnei Lecha Chaver, or a Rav, then that can, that can kind of make me more objective. But if it's just me, I'll never achieve the same heights of greatness. Okay? Good? Yafe. So Adkan, we've said that Pirkei Avos says it's good to have yourself a rav for learning, and it's good to have yourself a rav for psak. The Gemara in Erevin, Daf Vav and Bet, has a very important principle. Write like this. Mikule Beit Shammai, if you only take the leniencies of Beit Shammai, umikule Beit Hillel, and if you only take the leniencies of Beit Hillel, Rasha. Not good. Mechumre Beit Shammai, umechumre Beit Hillel. But if you only take the stringency of Beit Shammai and the stringency of Beit Hillel, Allah b'katav amar, hikaksio b'choy shachalech. Then you too are a fool. Okay? Ela, ike Beit Shammai kechulem kechumereim, ike Beit Hillel kechulem uvekechumereim. Rather, if you're a Beit Shammai guy, you should be consistent. You should go like Beit Shammai. If you're a Beit Hillel guy, you should go like Beit Hillel, both on the leniencies and the stringencies. Okay, so this Gemara is very, very often quoted. And it's telling us that it's not healthy to just constantly be looking for the most lenient perspective or the most stringent perspective. Because at that point, you're not really searching for the truth anymore. You're not looking for the ruts on Hashem. You're just looking for what's most convenient, either way. It's convenient for some people to be always lenient, for most people. And some people just say, I just don't always want to be strict. I don't want to think about it. But you're not looking for the truth anymore. And Beit Hillel has an internal logic to them. Beit Shammai has an internal logic to them. But if you start switching around, then you're already not really searching for the truth. Okay? So when you hear that famous line, you're just going kula shopping, and that's not good, this is the Gemara that they're referring to. That it's not healthy to just look for leniencies or for stringencies. Okay? However, that doesn't necessarily mean that you could only, sometimes in certain sectors, they'll take this year to mean that you're never allowed to ask any other Rav except your one Rav. Once I've accepted Rav Lerner as my Rav, that's it. I'm only allowed to ask him a Shaila, and I can't ask anybody else, because that's what this Gemara is referring to. I don't think that's true. When I say, I've read a lot of articles. Lichtenstein, for example, has an article about this, and many other, rabbis talk about this topic, and that's not completely true. What do I mean? Nowadays, we live in a world where the truth is not every halachic rabbi is an expert in all fields. Okay? So, for example, it could be that one rabbi really, really knows Hilchos Brachos well, but he's not an expert in Hilchos Nida. Could be he knows Hilchos Shabbos, but he's not an expert in some other field. So is it okay for me to go to this rabbi for that type of psak and that rabbi for that type of psak? The answer is yes, it's fine. Because maybe the world was less complicated in the olden days. Maybe people were just smarter in the olden days. And there could be that you could find some rabbis out there that really are buckies that just know everything. But most of the time, that's not the reality anymore. And so it's okay to ask this rabbi for that psak and ask this rabbi for that psak. Okay? That's first principle. You don't have to worry about that. Secondly, I'll say the following. It could be that nowadays, I don't know, you wake up and you say, I don't really know if this, who to pick. Should I just pick this rabbi because he's got a big beard and he seems like a nice guy? Like, so that doesn't seem to be a smart way to function in life. So what are we going to do probably instead? We're going to try to develop our own hashkafas. We're going to try to figure out my angle. I'm aware there's Haredi Judaism. There's religious Zionism, Judaism, there's mystical, there's YU, there's somewhere in between, there's reform, there's all sorts of things. So what are you going to do? You're going to learn. And you came to seminary and you learned a lot and you're going to continue to learn. And at this point, hopefully, you guys kind of know where you're at hashkafically and even which rabbis are in your, you know, in your realm, in your zone. Yeah? Am I on the right path? Am I right? You kind of have a vibe for this rabbi is kind of in similar to where I'm at.
Mix, though, right?
Yeah, so what I'm saying is it could be a person realizes, like, when it comes to, you know, tznius, I know that there's this rabbi's perspective, and I know there's that rabbi's perspective. I'm not learned enough to tell you that this Gemara is right or that Gemara is right, but I'll tell you that the approach that fits me, that my community that speaks to me as being true, I'm talking about within the realm of halacha, is this rabbi's perspective. Not so much that rabbi's perspective. So truthfully, when I have a tzniyah shayla, I'm not going to ask that rabbi. I'm going to ask that rabbi. So is that kula shopping? In my opinion, that's not kula shopping. That's just the reality of the world we live in, which is we know that there are many, many different options with even within halacha. There are 12 paths, so to speak. And to me, it's totally legitimate to do your own research and ask the Rav that you think, you know, aligns with your hashkafa, aligns with your truth, okay? The truth is that in the old, there were rabbis, and there probably still are some rabbis out there who didn't even ask other rabbis. So what would they do? What would the Shulchan Aruch do? He'd learn the Rosh, he'd learn the Rif, he'd learn the Rambam. He didn't always passim like the Rambam. He learned the sugya, and whatever he thought was the truth, that's how he passed it. So is he being inconsistent? No, he's learning from them, but he's a big enough person to say, but I think this is the truth. And if we were learned enough, we could also do that, truthfully. But probably most of us are not big enough to become poskim on our own, myself included. But that doesn't mean that we can't learn the topic and then kind of, based on what we think is the truth, ask a Rav and discuss with a Rav that we think will align with our hashkafa. Okay? Yeah, your question, thought?
I was going to say, like, I know for our future, it's important to have a Rav you could ask halachic shalos to, but, like, Emir Tzushan, when we get married, don't you go
good
by
point.
Your husband's Rav?
Good point. Nachon. And when I give this shiur to boys, it is the first time I'm actually giving this shiur to girls. So I do have to reformulate it. First of all, Bezrat Hashem, you'll get married, you know, as soon as you're ready. But it might be a little while. You never know. So definitely, we don't want to just wait.
Yeah.
Some people will do that. They'll say, well, I want to get married. I figure. No, that's not the proper approach. The proper approach is already now to be finding a posek that you feel comfortable with. But you're right, when you get married, most of the time what ends up happening is that the man and the woman together decide who's going to be their posek to ask Shilas too. And you're right that most of the time it goes by the man. Not always. I'll tell you, for example, who's the posek who I most often go to? My wife's dad.
Really?
Yeah, just because I'm close with him and he's great and I respect him. So in this case, it worked, and it's obviously also my wife's rub. So in this case, actually, it aligns very well. But I say that, in other words, it's a team discussion. It should be a team discussion. It shouldn't just be like, well, the man says this, and the woman has no say. It's like, you know, they're on a team together, and they discuss these matters. But you are correct that, in general, sometimes a woman will go like the psak of the man, and sometimes a woman will even change her minagim. You know, if a Sephardi marries an Ashkenazi, or not, not always, but in general, the men have to go like the men. So I guess for a woman, it's important to think about that before you get married, to try to pick the right type of guy that's going to have the right type of hashkafa that aligns with her values. Not always so easy, and sometimes girls have to compromise on this a little bit. But in general, l'chadchila, ideally, you want to ask the guy, you know, who is your type of rav. Make sense? Okay. So while on the one end there's a value of consistency, it's also important, it's also okay to it's good, I would say, to be aware of what your hashkafa is, and based on that hashkafa, to me it's okay to decide which rabbi you're going to ask. And I even think it's okay to kind of have a discussion with the rabbi as long as you're not getting psak. You can say, Rabbi, I'm really curious. What are your thoughts on this? And just because you're having a discussion doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to paskin like that. However, once you've already asked a rav for psak, you said, Rabbi, what should I do? And he's told, and there's a rabbi who we're assuming you're connected with, and he said you should do aleph. At that point, to go ask Rabbi B because you don't like Rabbi A's answer is a bit cheap. It's probably not so good. So obviously every situation is unique, and it's, you know, it's hard to generalize. But that already is on lutasur mina davar asher yagidu l'chayaminu smol, as the pasuk says. Once you have a rabbi and he's your rabbi, you really shouldn't be just straying right and left just for the sake of what's convenient for you or what's easier for you. L'chule l'chule. Okay. Now, all of that is in the realm of, you know, halacha. And by the way, nowadays they have all these things like halacha, you know, you call it up and you get an answer, or you go on Google and do a Google search. Even I think Rav Shvat has like an Ask a Rabbi, he's part of that. I think all that stuff is wonderful. I'll tell you personally, as a rabbi, I use it all the time. But it's wonderful for research. But when you have a real shaila, it's always better to go to a real person, because they might know you and your particular situation and your family situation and all that. And the more you develop a real kesher with the rav, they'll be able to guide you based on knowing you. If it's just a computer or even the Ish Rabbi WhatsApp thing. Now they do that. As soon as you go on Ish.com, you have an Ish Rabbi that like WhatsApp you.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. But like, he doesn't know me and I don't know him, and I don't know if my hashkafa exactly aligns with him. So it's not ideal. Again, for 90% of shaylas, maybe 95%, it doesn't really matter. You know, whether you say a shakal or an eitz or an adam, it's not a hashkafic question. So you might have some machlokeses between this rabbi and that rabbi, but it's not, your hashkafa is not going to impact the answer that you get, whether it's a shakal or an eitz or an adam. When you say other types of shaylas, tznius or yishuv eretz yisrael or aliyah, bigger shaylas and stuff like that, then the rabbi you ask, their hashkafa will impact often the psak that they give. So it's important to know who you're asking. Cool. Okay, so adkan, basically, when we're talking about psak, I want to return back to the topic of the importance of, in general, having a rabbi. Because I think it's important to have a rabbi, not just because he'll help you get an answer when you have a shaila. I think at least the first mission in Pirkei Avos is saying something much deeper than that. And that is the concept of having a mentor, of having a life coach, of having someone to hold you accountable, of having someone to coach you, someone to help to inspire you. And that's something that every single person needs. And Dafka, in the world we live in, you know, we more than ever before, if you ask me, need rubs and friends and people to inspire us, because we live in a generation of information overload where we don't really need the rub as much as we used to in order to give us info. You go on Wikipedia, you go on Halachapedia, you do a little Google search, and with a little time you can research, you can get a lot of information out there. But Dafka, because we have so much information, we also often all are like all over the place. We're confused. And we're humans. And thus, very often, we do things which are not really according to our true inner values. I don't know, for example, you'll sometimes see doctors smoking. What, they don't know that it's bad for you? They know it. But there's a big gap between what we know and what we feel like doing, right? You know, you see people going to parties and, you know, drinking like crazy. But they don't know that it's very unhealthy to drink a ridiculous amount of alcohol in college every night. They know, but they don't care, because there's a gap between what we know intellectually and what we want to do emotionally. And all of us, I'm not talking about every single one of us, I'm sure, has things which we know intellectually would be good for us to do, A, B, C, D, E. But we're not there emotionally. We for all sorts of reasons, make excuses. And that's okay. But that's exactly where having a friend, good friends, to hold us accountable, and also a Rav who we look up to, who we meet with. You know, hopefully in person, but if not in person, at least over the phone or WhatsApp or whatever, to check up on us, to ask, to make goals together, and to ask how are we doing in davening, how are we doing in learning, how are we doing in this, how are we doing in that, and hopefully not just in frumkeit, also just, you know, emotionally, psychologically, that especially in our generation, I think a Rav has to have more than, he has to be more than just, you know, a toolbox for halacha. He also knows has to know how to deal with people, how to motivate people, how to understand people, and how to guide people. And it's hard to find a Rav who has all those skills. And it could be that we end up splitting it up. So, for example, I'll be honest. I go to my Rav for certain types of situations, certain types of shilas. But it could be I go to my best friend for another type of discussion, another type of shila. I'm lucky enough that my best friend is also a Rav, actually. But he actually became a Dayan. But even before he was a Rav, he was my best friend. And so therefore, you know, on certain types of shilas, when I need like just a good schmooze, usually just to clarify how I feel about, I don't know, a certain, is this right, is this honest in business, is this the, what should my reaction be when someone's not nice, all these types of things. I'm not going to go to my Rav and have my Rav, like, you know, and have a 20-minute back and forth discussion. That I save for like my best friend schmoozes, but for other types of things, I would go to my Rav. So personally, I feel like it's okay to kind of split up roles a little bit, but at the same time, it is important at the end of the day to have some sort of mashpia, to go to his shears, to get inspired, and also just to talk over real issues with a Rav. And as I said in the beginning of this year, it's kind of on us, on you and on me, to it's not the Rav's job to run after you. Now, Rav Shlomo Carlebach was a unique rabbi, and he said, in our generation, the rabbi has to chase after the students, okay? Because we live in a generation sometimes where the student runs away. But not everyone's on Rav Shlomo's level. Sometimes when I'm in a good mood, I do chase after my students. I send them WhatsApp messages. I bother them. V'chuleh. But sometimes I don't have the koach because, you know, I have a lot of people in my life. So I don't think we can leave it up to the Rav. I think it's up to us to make a commitment, please God, to have a Rav relationship in our life. If you don't yet have one, we can always daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu that He sends us good friends and sends us good leaders and mentors. And when I say Rav, of course, I also mean, you know, Rabbaniyot and Rebbetzin, v'chula. Mentors, rakezets, whatever it is, you know, people people in our lives to hold us accountable and to mentor us and to just check in with. I've done this, by the way. Sometimes I'll set up a WhatsApp chavrusa every day, and I'll check in with my students, and I'll ask, how's your brachas? And he'll tell me how his brachas are, and I'll tell him how my brachas are. And sometimes it will just make a goal. He's working on waking up on time for shacharis, and I'm working on learning my daf yomi, and we'll just hold each other accountable in this type of way. So it doesn't have to be with a rav, you could do it with a friend, but I do think that accountability is absolutely necessary, not just for exercise workouts and diets, but also for spiritual growth. So that's, I still didn't give an answer, whether it's an absolute halachic thing or just a suggestion, but regardless, it's definitely a really, really great idea in order to enable our continued growth in life. That's all I have to say about that topic.